This call is being recorded.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all that you are doing. We say good morning, Holy Spirit. And we ask now, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to unveil, reveal the truth of your word. We ask that the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge would be ours. We thank you for what you are doing and what you will continue to do in these days, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Now listen, people of God, if there's any background noise, you can mute yourself, click the button just to mute yourself, because these calls are recorded and we want to make sure everyone is hearing the word. So if you know there's going to be some background noise, if you're doing anything, just mute yourself so everyone can receive the word of God. Amen. So I'm going to ask my wife this morning to actually be our reader this morning, if she could. Amen. Again, we're now listen, people of God. Huh? While she's getting that ready, I'm gonna ask Sister Linda to also assist in that. Okay, Sister Linda, you're prepared too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Amen. I just want to remind everyone: always make sure when you come prepared, Bible and notepad. Amen. Because my assignment is as a teacher. That's the call that God has placed on my life. So I love to teach the word of God. Why? Because when you teach the word of God, you get understanding, you get clarity. So we're going back now. Listen, we've been dealing with a series in the era of deliverance. We just finished a teaching in the era of intercession and other things, intercession, the gift from the church. That was a magnificent series we went through. And I've been noticing now that in my prayer time, the Lord is beginning to deal with me about teaching extensively a series in regard to things that he wants to do. And the reason why I believe the Lord do that is because, listen, pay very close attention, because the Bible talks about being grounded and rooted in the word of God. You have to be grounded and rooted, which means you got to continually hear the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. You got to hear the word over and over again. The more of the words you hear, the more faith is developed for it. So you can't just hear the word one time and expect it to get in your spirit. You got to hear it over and over. That's why the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law should not depart out of our mouth, but we shall what? Meditate. Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
You got to meditate what? Day in and day and night. The more you meditate, the Bible says, you will make your way prosperous. Notice it does not say God will make your way prosperous. It says you will. Why? Because you are the one that's doing the work. So when you do the work consistently, you make your way prosper. Amen. And you'll begin to see growth. You'll begin to see character growth. You'll begin to see things develop in your life. Amen. So we're dealing with another series in the area of deliverance. Amen. And one of the things that's lacking in the body of Christ,
right,
is deliverance. Amen. And one of the reasons why we're not seeing deliverance is because there's no preaching and teaching on it.
That's, you know, right.
There's no preaching and teaching in the era of deliverance. And so people have knowledge of something, but they don't have understanding of it.
Understanding.
And then there's a difference between having knowledge of the scripture and having understanding of the scripture. When you get understanding of the scripture, you can actually apply it. You can actually put it into your daily life, and you can begin to see the fruit of that thing manifest in your life, and you can begin to see change. Hallelujah. So if you're taking notes again, I'm going to go back and I'm going to clarify for those who are new here, and then we're going to move on. I'm telling you, we got some good stuff this morning, so I need you to be patient, and I want you to bear with me, because I'm going to try to get as much as I can, and then we'll pick it up again next week. Okay, we're dealing with the series in the area of deliverance entitled Deliverance, A Destined and Determined Desire. A destined, if you take a note like this, a destined and determined desire, which means there is a lot of people who have a desire to be delivered. But desire in and of itself is not enough. Just you desire to be delivered, it's just like crossing the threshold into what you're supposed to come into. Desire is just the beginning. See, the Bible tells us in Psalm 30, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desire of your heart. But when it comes to deliverance, it begins, listen, pay very close attention, it begins with desire, but it doesn't end there.
Right.
And a lot of people are trying to end it at desire, and no, there's more to it. Amen. And so listen, when you understand, listen, this is the thing, a destined, so we're dealing with a destined determined desire, which means when you understand what has been destined for you, it becomes in you. It becomes in you. Everybody say, it becomes in me.
It becomes in me.
Listen, it becomes in you a determined desire. In other words, God wants you to understand that when you have understanding, something takes place on the inside of you.
Right.
Amen. It's not an outward observation. It's people observing about deliverance, but is it taking place in you? Is it manifesting in you? Are you seeing the result of deliverance? Amen. And so God wants to give us clarity in that area. And so we talked about the thing. So I want to go through a couple of things that we covered, and then we're going to move forward. Amen. The first thing we said concerning deliverance, pay very close attention, then we're going to read the scripture. Our mouth plays a major part in our deliverance. Everybody say, my mouth plays the major part of my deliverance.
My mouth plays a major part in my deliverance.
Amen. All right. It plays the major part. Amen. In other words, you got to say something. Now, let's go to the scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. All right. I'm going to let you get your Bibles. Hallelujah. Amen. Because everything we see, we got to see it in the Word. Amen. We can't just go with the preacher. What the preacher or the teacher says, you got to see it in the Word for yourself. Because listen, once you see it in the scriptures, you can actually receive it. Amen. It becomes, listen, when you see it in the scripture, it's no longer just a promise. It becomes your portion. The promises of God, you better write this down. The promises of God are supposed to be your daily portion. Everybody say that with me. The promise of God are supposed to be my daily portion.
The promises of God are supposed to be my daily portion.
Absolutely, which means every day what God promised you, you are supposed to be seeing it in your life. You should see a pattern, a consistent pattern of the promises of God coming to pass in your life.
Amen.
And guess what? If you're 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, if you're not seeing a consistent pattern of the promises of God come to pass in your life, then guess what? It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. And sometimes, guess what? It's not even the devil. Hello. Sometimes it does. Sometimes, you know why? It's because there's distraction involved. A lot of us don't want to talk about distraction. But listen, one of the purposes of the enemy is to keep you distracted from staying focused on the word. Because if you're distracted, then you're hindering the consistency of the promises coming to pass in your life. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, Sister Kathy, I want you to read 1 through 3. I want everyone to see this very carefully. Sister Kathy, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. 2 Samuel chapter 22, 1 through 3.
And he spoke unto the Lord the words of the song
in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust.
He now read verse 2 one more time. No, just read verse 2 one more time.
And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer.
Notice. Now, listen, we said, now, if you're taking notes again, remember, our mouth plays the major part in our deliverance. Now, notice that we see from the scripture, this is, the Bible says, this is what David said. This is what David said. David said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. The Lord is. Everybody say, the Lord is my deliverer.
The Lord is my deliverer.
Now, why is that important to understand? Because, listen, write this down. Everything in the kingdom of God is a verbal response. Everything in the kingdom operate by a verbal response or a verbal declaration. When God created the earth, he used his words.
Yes.
The Bible says that the world, here you go, were framed by the word of God. The world was framed by the word of God, which means God spoke it. He declared it. And what he spoke, the Bible says he saw it, and he saw what he said was good.
That's right.
He saw what he said it was good. Now, listen, if you and I are made in the likeness and the image of our Creator, then that means whatever we speak, we are to frame our world with our words, and we are supposed to be seeing what we're saying is good. Because we got too many people speaking of all the things that's negative in their life. This is not going right. And guess what? You are actually getting not what you're praying, but what you're saying.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? A lot of people are not getting what they're praying. You're going to get what you're saying. So that means, again, you're saying, if you pray one thing and you say something else, you're not going to get what you pray. You're going to get what you say.
What you say.
So when it comes to the era of deliverance, what are you saying about it? Are you saying what the Lord, what the word is saying, or are you saying what you're experiencing? Oh, come on now. This is why people are still bound. This is why people are still struggling to receive the manifestation of their deliverance. It's because they're speaking what they're actually experiencing and not what the word is saying about what they're experiencing.
Amen.
So, again, our mouth plays a major part of our deliverance because, listen, for the believer, everybody say, for the believer.
For the believer.
Listen, it must be a verbal declaration. It must be a verbal declaration. It must be a verbal response. The Bible says this, you shall decree a thing and it will be established.
That's right.
In other words, once you speak it, it becomes established.
Notice,
you got to speak it.
Yeah.
Listen, God already spoke it. So what you have to do is you have to come into agreement what he says. In other words, once God speaks it, then you got to speak it.
He's giving
so
up.
Jesus says, by your stripes, you're healed, you got to say what he said. Amen? So let's move on. We got a lot of ground to cover. So therefore, here you go. Deliverance manifests and materializes, listen, not just because we desire it, but because we declare it. Everybody say, my deliverance doesn't manifest just because I desire it. It manifests because I declare it.
My deliverance? Say that again, Reverend.
My deliverance doesn't manifest because I desire it. It manifests because I declare it.
My deliverance doesn't manifest because I declare it.
Deliverance comes because I declare it.
Yeah. You, in other words, a desire is not itself. It's not enough just to desire it. You got to declare it. You got to speak it. It got to come out of your mouth. It must come out of your mouth. Amen?
What's coming out of your mouth?
So the question is, what is coming out of your mouth? Okay. Secondly, this is the second thing we're covering. When we declare it with this understanding, when we declare it with this in mind, with this understanding in mind, it is considered by God a faith statement. When, oh God, don't miss this, when you declare it with understanding, it is considered by God a faith statement. When you declare it with understanding, God sees it as a faith statement. Why? It speaks to the present tense, because faith speaks to what is now, not tomorrow, not next week. Faith speaks to what is now. How do we know that? The Bible says now faith is. Now faith is. Faith is always now. It's not tomorrow, not next week. Faith speaks to what is now. Everybody say, my faith must speak to what's now.
My faith must speak to what is now.
It must speak to what is present now. In other words, if you're not speaking in the present tense, then you are in hope. You're not in faith.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people got hope, and maybe so, but it's not faith. Well, I hope to be free. I hope to one day prosper.
Yes.
I hope one day my bills will get paid. And guess what? As long as you stay in that understanding and that mindset, you're going to continue to hope. And you're going to wonder why things are not manifesting. You're going to, well, I've been waiting for 5 years and my check hasn't came yet. And guess what? You're going to keep on waiting. Why? Because you're speaking in the future, not speaking in the now. And so remember, your declaration must be, I receive it now. Why? Because again, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Everybody say it's finished.
It's finished.
It's finished.
Okay, it's finished. So it always speaks in the present tense. Faith speaks to what's present. Your deliverance, here go. Oh, here we go. We're going deep now. Your deliverance is a finished work. Your deliverance is a finished thing already. You got to start declaring, I am delivered. Everybody say, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
Notice it doesn't say, you're going to be delivered. No, it's, I am delivered.
I am healed.
I am blessed. I am prosperous. You got to speak it in the present, because when you speak it in the present, the Holy Spirit can manifest it in the present.
Amen.
Because, listen, God watches over what we're saying.
Yeah.
So guess what? If you speak future, He's going to manifest it in the future.
Wow.
If you speak it in the present, He's going to manifest in the present. You might be dealing with a symptom in your body, and you need to say, by your stripes, I am healed, not will be healed.
Amen.
See, when you say, one day I think the Lord is going to heal me, guess what? You'll be wondering why that pain is still there. You'll be wondering why the backache is there. You'll be wondering why the things you're still dealing. And you'll be like, well, maybe the devil attacked me. No, it ain't the devil. It's your mouth.
Whoa. Ow.
It's your mouth. Your mouth is not speaking. Your mouth is not speaking in line with what's finished. Amen? So God considered it a faith statement. Now, again, the Hebrew word is yomei. We talked about that. It means this, a space of time associated in line with purpose. In line with purpose, which means your speaking must be in line with purpose. Your speaking must be in line with purpose. Everybody say that my speaking must be in line with purpose.
My speaking must be in line with my purpose.
My Absolutely. It's purpose. Remember, the word purpose is the word prothesis, which means that which has been already established, that which has already been established. So when you speak to that which has already been established, then guess what? Your life and the manifestation of what you're speaking have no choice but to come into alignment.
Amen.
So the question we ask ourselves, we're moving on, what is connected to how God manifests deliverance? Okay, Psalms 50, verse 14 and 15.
Psalms.
Sister Linda, can you read that? Psalms chapter 50, verse 14 and 15.
50 or 60?
Psalms chapter 50, 50. Psalms chapter 50, 50. Hallelujah. Verse 14 and 15. Sister Linda, I want Sister Linda to read it. Verse 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. Y'all write these scriptures down because you need to go back and read them because God's going to give you something even greater than what I'm ministering to you. Why? Because revelation is progressive. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, y'all. Come on. Psalms chapter 50, verse 14 to 15.
Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Read it one more time. Read it one more time. Faith comes by hearing, people.
Yeah. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Now, Amen. Notice, one thing I want you to understand, notice when this is written, this is old covenant, which means the price of redemption was not paid. So when the Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, notice what it says, I will deliver you. I will deliver, which means this is future. Why? Because it's still old covenant. Amen? Everything in the old covenant is pointing to what is to be. Okay? So he says, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So there's two things we see right here in the scripture concerning your deliverance. Number one, he says, offer to God thanksgiving. Everybody say, offer to God thanksgiving.
Offer to God thanksgiving.
Which means, here go. Here's the key right here. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, here go. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. In all things give thanks. In all things, everybody say, in all things give thanks.
In all things give thanks.
Now, why is this important to understand? Because there are people who are still praying for deliverance and not thanking God for their deliverance.
Wow.
They're still praying that God would deliver them, and they're not thanking God they are delivered. And they wonder why it has not manifest. So in your thanksgiving, remember, in thanksgiving, you got to say, Lord, thank you, I am delivered. Come on, say, everybody say that. Lord, I thank you, I am delivered.
Lord, I thank you, I am delivered.
Yeah, I am delivered. Come on, you got to declare this. You got to let the devil know. No, I am delivered. Amen. I'm not going to be delivered. I'm already delivered. See, again, remember, thanksgiving has to do with when you receive something, then your response to what you receive is to say thank you. I use this illustration. When you receive a gift, if someone gave you a gift, your response is thank you. It's thank you. Amen. So when you say thank you, it is an indication you believe you received it.
That's right.
Lord, so whenever you say, Lord, thank you, I am delivered, God says, oh, she believes she received. So now it manifests and materializes.
Amen.
Because you believe what he did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It becomes an established thing in the present. Remember, because we speak what? In the present. Let's move on. The second thing right here, he said, offer to God and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Everybody say, the second thing is pay your vow. Everybody say, pay your vow.
Pay your vows.
Now, notice in regard to this, amen? Because a lot of times when preachers use this passage, they take the word out of context. In each text, you have to read the word of God in context. So in this passage, this has nothing to do with money.
Right.
Okay? Pay your vow. Now, the word pay your vow here, in the Hebrew word, it is the word nadir. N-E-H-D-E-R. It means this. Pay attention. It means to perform and carry out a thing promised. To perform and carry out a thing promised. You are to perform and carry out the thing promised, which means this is in regard to the instruction you have been given in prayer that brings about the manifestation of what is promised and purpose.
Wow.
This is in regard to the instruction. In other words, what God is saying is when you go in prayer, when you are seeking the face of God, when you are praying, God is going to give you specific instruction. Why? He's going to give you specific instruction. Why? For the manifestation of what he has promised. And see, a lot of times we are waiting on God and God is waiting for you.
All right.
Remember when the man was dealing with the spirit, Jesus said, this kind come out how? By prayer and fasting.
Amen.
So some things that have been delayed or things that's not manifesting the way it is, when you go in prayer, God said, okay, let me show you what spirit you're dealing with. With this one, you're going to have to fast. You're going to have to turn the plate over. God might say, I need you to take communion. I need you to speak the scriptures. I need you to speak this promise over. God is going to give you specific instruction. And when you obey the instruction, then the manifestation of what has been promised and purpose becomes your portion.
Yeah.
Okay. If I say, I must heed to the instruction.
I must heed to the instruction.
I must heed to the instruction.
You must heed to the structure. Because listen, when God gives you something, your responsibility is to obey his voice. You know, I learned last night, I was listening to a message on the Holy Spirit of how to become more intimate with the Holy Spirit.
Oh,
one thing the man of God said is about just being obeying his instruction. Whenever he speaks to you, you're quick to obey. The question is, are you quick to obey when God speaks to you?
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because there are instructions involved. Let's move on. We got a lot of ground to cover. Okay. Now, we have to define deliverance. We have to define it. Amen. We have to give a biblical definition, according to the word of God, what is deliverance. Amen. Let's go real quickly to Exodus. Chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. I'm going to ask my wife to read that. Let's go to the book of Exodus, Old Testament. Amen. We're going to let everybody get there. I want everyone to get there in your Bible. Exodus, hallelujah. Verse chapter 3. And verse 7 and 8. My God.
Okay. Is everybody there?
Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8.
Okay.
Amen.
Y'all ready?
Ready.
All right. And it reads, 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and they have heard their cry, by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
That's a lot of ites.
Okay.
Those are a lot of ites enemies. I call them the ite enemies. Amen. So let's get to this. Okay. So we see that the children of Israel, they're in Egypt, they're in bondage, and they're crying out before God. They're crying out before God, which a lot of us do when it comes to our deliverance. And the Bible said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cries because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. Now listen, look what he says here. So I have come down to deliver them. I have come to deliver them. I have come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So this is God's objective. God's objective is to deliver them. Why? Based on their cry. He has heard and he has seen what the Egyptians are doing to his people. And see, what you and I got to understand, God sees what the enemy is doing to you.
Amen.
God sees what the world is trying to do to you. Even this stuff that's going on now, pandemic and stuff, trying to get people back. Maybe I ain't trying to go through that. But listen, don't you understand that your creator, your God sees everything? Nothing catches God by surprise. And guess what? If it doesn't catch God by surprise, it shouldn't catch you by surprise neither. Come on now, preach it better than your shout. So here we see in the scripture the how God defined deliverance in this area. So beginning in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, write this down, deliverance is defined as what? It is a rescue response to the cry of a people. Write that down.
Okay.
It is a rescue response. To the cry of a people. Everybody say a rescue response.
A rescue response to the cry of a people.
It is a rescue response. In other words, you know, you see on breaking news when they have floods and stuff like this and people get trapped somewhere, you know, they call out what's called a rescue response.
Which means
they're sending people to come and assist for the rescue response. So there's a rescue response. So just as it is in the natural, there is in the spirit. God's people, every time you cry out, it is a rescue response. Now listen, now we're about to go deep. We're about to go deep, and then we're going to pray. Y'all ready? Here we go.
Amen.
Put your scuba gear on now. It is also defined as, ready? Affliction and oppression. Everybody say affliction and oppression.
Affliction and oppression.
Now, why is that important? Because look what the Bible says in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. He has seen the oppression. So everybody say affliction and oppression.
Affliction and oppression.
All right. Now stay with me, because these last few minutes, we're about to go deep. Now, beloved of God, I need you to pay attention. Our enemy comes at us according to the scripture in two ways. And we need to distinguish between the two. There is, number one, write to that. There is, number one, there is oppression. And then there is affliction. There is oppression and there is affliction. Everybody say oppression and affliction.
Oppression and affliction.
Okay, now let's define these two because we got to get clarity if we're going to see the manifestation of our deliverance, okay? Yeah. Everybody say it again, oppression and affliction.
Oppression and affliction.
All right, let's break these down and let's get the biblical definition of these. Number one, the definition of oppression. Y'all ready for this? The definition of oppression is to keep someone in hardship by way of unjust exercise of authority. Ooh. I'm going to say it again. To keep someone in hardship by way of unjust exercise of authority, which means this. It means this. They use their authority to suppress a person's will, called an unwillful submission. I'm gonna say it again so y'all can write this down. You're gonna have to explain it more.
This is really deep.
I'm gonna get to it. I am. Okay. I'm just laying the groundwork. I'm gonna explain all of this. Okay. This is a series of teachers, so we're gonna explain every bit of it. Okay. The definition of oppression again is to keep someone in hardship by unjust exercise of authority, which means this. This is the meaning of it. They use people, they use their authority to suppress a person's will, causing unwillful submission. In other words, that means when you suppress someone, when you violate someone's will, when God created mankind, he created every person with a free will.
That's right.
God will never violate that. And guess what? Neither should humans.
Right.
And whenever you force someone to do something against their will, you are suppressing them, causing unwillful submission. You're causing them to submit to something they're unwilling to do. You are actually violating their will. You're doing something that God won't even do. This is what's happening right now in our world today. This is what's happening. They are making laws, changes, rules and stuff that suppress our will.
To make us do stuff
to violate our will.
This is what
the Egyptians were doing to the children of Israel the whole time they were in Egypt.
Yes.
This was unwillful. In other words, they were unwilling to do it because it was the Egyptian had authority. They were using their authority to suppress the children of Israel's will, causing Israel to be unwillfully submitted.
So listen.
The Bible says when this was happening, God saw this and God heard this.
Yeah.
So guess what? Now, when God sees something that's doing to his people that he himself don't do, he gets involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Come on. This is something. Now, God said, wait a minute. Okay. Now they're doing something. They're violating what I created, something I'm not going to do. In other words, guess what? God does not force you to accept him. God does not force you to serve him. He created you with your own free will. And he, all-powerful God, is not going to subject his will on your will.
That's right.
Amen. That's why, listen, let me go deeper. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, out of his own will. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He made the decision he was going to do the will of God.
Yes.
He chose. He made the choice. And guess what? Jesus didn't have to really go to the cross for you. He could have got out of that. And guess what? The Father would not have been mad at him.
Wow.
Hello.
Hello. That's beautiful.
So Jesus willingly submitted his will.
Mm-hmm.
And so when anyone forced their will on your will and caused you to do something that you are not willing to do it, is unjust, is called unjust exercise of authority.
Yeah.
Okay. If I say unjust, that's unjust.
Unjust.
It means the authority that God gave man. Man is unjust in using the authority that God gave them. And guess what? God will deal with them.
Yeah,
amen.
Because God never gave man authority to subject anybody else's will.
Amen.
The authority he has given you is not to subject any other. And guess what? The same thing that goes with every devil.
My Lord.
It goes with every devil. Now,
but only from the pride. Only from the cry. That's what I hear.
Absolutely. It's from the cry.
Being a cry, ain't nothing going to happen.
Right. So this is, listen, this is oppression. Everybody say this is oppression.
This is oppression.
Okay. Now, we got that understanding, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's deal with affliction. We're coming back to both of these, but we gotta get this understanding. The definition of affliction is to cause persistent pain, suffering, and distress. I'm going to show you this in your Bible. Write it down. Affliction is to cause persistent pain, suffering, and distress.
Yes.
Y'all got that right? What is affliction? It's to cause persistent or consistent pain, suffering, and distress. In other words, the Bible says they would oppress the children of Israel daily. That's what your Bible says. This is what the Egyptians, they were doing it. They were oppressing, they were afflicting them daily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see it is to cause persistent, consistent pain, suffering, and distress. Pain, suffering, and distress. When you have pain, suffering and distress on a consistent basis, it is defined as affliction. When you have consistent pain, suffering, and distress, it is called affliction. It's not oppression, it's affliction.
Right.
Did everyone get it? All right. Okay, let's move on. Let's go deeper. We're about to go deeper. Now, notice the example of oppression.
Oppression.
Okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Brother Ronnie, you on?
Acts 10, 38.
Acts chapter 10, read, Sister Linda, read Acts chapter 10, verse 38.
Acts chapter 10?
Yeah, verse Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Somebody read that. Just say, I'll read it.
Acts chapter 10, 38.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 10, verse 38.
Okay, here we go.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Read it again. Read it one more time. Look what the Bible says.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
So, according to the scripture, who is the source of oppression?
The devil.
Say it again. Who's the source? Where does the source of oppression come?
Devil.
The enemy.
There you go. All who were oppressed by the devil So oppression comes from the devil. Okay. Now let's go. Now let's look at we coming back here. Now let's look at the example of affliction. We understand oppression. Now let's look at affliction. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I got to give you Bible. You got to see it in the Bible. 4, verse 17 and 18. Well, somebody want to read that? Whoever you
I got
read it. All right, go ahead and read it.
2 Corinthians chapter 4.
I want you to read verse 16, 17, and 18, because I want to see it in content. I want the people to see it in content. Verse 16, 17, and 18. Watch this, people.
Amen. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Mm-hmm. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Now read just verse 17. Look at this in your Bible.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
One more time.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
So notice what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is actually saying what you are right now presently dealing with is a light affliction. You know, a lot of people put, oh God, this is too heavy, I can't bear it. Lord, this is too much. I'm ready to give up, I'm ready to throw in the towel. God said, wait a minute, what you're dealing with is just a light affliction. So the question is, how are you seeing it? Because this is how your God sees it. Your God sees it as a light affliction. Now the question is, how do you see it? And listen, look what he said. He said, it's only what? For a moment. What you're dealing with is only for a moment, people of God.
Amen.
This is what the Bible says. This is what the word. Now, the question is, do we actually believe this? Do we actually believe the word of God? Because God just said, what you are dealing with is a light affliction, and God said, it's only for a moment. And then he goes on to say, guess what? It's working for us. Oh, God, it's working for you. What you are going through is working for you, not against you.
Amen.
It's working for you. Everybody say, what I'm dealing with is working for me.
What I'm dealing with is working for me.
It's working for you. Listen, an eternal weight of glory. What you are presently dealing with is to put glory on you. Oh, God, hallelujah. An exceeding weight of glory. I'm telling you, some people, listen, when you come through what you're going through, you are going to carry another level of glory.
So what you're dealing with is working for you.
It's working for you. And guess what? That's why God said it's working for you and exceeding weight of glory, which means there's power. There's glory involved in it. That's why God doesn't want you to complain. Now listen, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and God was doing miracles, the hindrance is what they're murmuring and complaining. Their murmuring and complaining is what kept them in the wilderness going in circles, and they eventually died right there. They end up dying in unbelief. Guess what? That's why God doesn't want you complaining or murmuring about what you're presently going through, because he called it a light affliction. He said it's only for a moment, and he said it's working for you.
Amen.
So the question you got to say, so you must start saying what God said. God, you got to say, Lord, yes, I'm dealing with some stuff in my body, but Lord, I thank you that this is a light affliction, is working for me, and this thing is only temporary. I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. That's how you have to pray.
Right.
Yeah.
This is how you got to declare. This is how you got to speak the word. This is affliction. Let's go deeper. 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 12 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. That was chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 12. I got to show you in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Are y'all getting something this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, look at verse 7 through 9. Somebody read
2
Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 9. Oh, this is good. Get ready for this. This is good. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9.
And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most daily, gladly, therefore, will I rather glory,
ooh, glory
in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Now, stop right there, because I need to go back, and I need to give you some clarity on this, because this is good. This is what your Bible says. First of all, he says right here that what you are dealing with, when the word buffet there, the word buffet is the same word as affliction. It is the same word as affliction. And he says that this affliction is purposed to manifest God's grace.
Mm.
Affliction, whenever you go through affliction, it has a purpose. It is purposed to bring God's grace. Now, you have to define what grace is in order to understand what's going to manifest. Remember, the word grace means,
come on,
in this purpose, it means enabling power.
Yes, Lord.
It means divine influence on your heart.
Yeah.
So whenever the enemy comes to buffet you, God is there with grace.
That's right. Amen.
So when you are afflicted, you start thanking, Lord, I thank you for grace.
That's right.
Because listen, this is a real important problem. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, this is what you're dealing with, my grace can handle it. My grace is going to handle this thing that you're dealing with. And guess what? My strength is going to be made perfect. My strength is going to actually make you more mature.
Amen.
And
maturity is how you deal with it.
Right.
When you mature in your afflictions, guess what? Your response about it is different.
Oh, yeah.
When you mature concerning your hardship, difficulty, guess what? Your response about it is different. What is your response? Back to what we said. Oh, this is just a light affliction. This is only for a moment. And this is actually working for my glory. Hey, hallelujah.
Yes,
you start praising God. It's all how you see it. And listen, are you seeing it through the eyes of faith, or are you seeing it through the eyes of your flesh?
It's either your flesh
is seeing it, or your flesh seeing it. It's your flesh or your faith. It's your choice. How are you seeing it? And he said, listen, my grace is sufficient. Okay, now let's go deeper, because we got to say it again. Now, the first scripture, now y'all ready for this? Let me give you some understanding. Now, the first scripture records those that were healed were oppressed. The second two scriptures record the affliction of Paul that was not healed. and we gain insight into the reasons why. The reason why, here it goes. Now, write this down. Oppression simply appears. Get ready, I'm finna go deep. Oppression, we're dealing with oppression and affliction. Now we just got a definition. We just got definition of oppression and affliction, okay? Now, let's get some clarity now. Oppression, remember, it appears to be what? Unjust exercise of authority by the devil. Okay, somebody say it's unjust exercise of authority by the devil.
Hold on,
unjust
exercise authority of the devil.
Yeah.
Oppression, it appears to be, or it is?
It appears to be. It appears to be to us. Because remember, when we look at things that we go through, we look it through the eyes of flesh. We don't see things in the realm of the way it is in the spirit.
Right.
We don't see it in line with what the scripture says. Because listen, whatever we're dealing with, guess what? You don't define it. The scripture does.
Okay, come on.
We don't define what we're dealing with. The scripture does. So whenever you're dealing with something, you don't define it. You don't say, well, this is of the devil, or this is it. I'm dealing with this. We start to say, oh, I'm dealing with this. Then no, you are defining through your natural means, and you're not going to the scripture to get the scripture definition.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now let me tell you. So oppression means the unjust exercise of authority by the devil. Okay? That's oppression.
Okay.
Whereas, here you go, affliction is not. Affliction is this. Affliction is the only thing different about affliction is it goes through the approval of our Lord.
Goes through.
I'm going to say it again.
I'm confused because I wrote oppression, it appears to be unjust authority by the devil.
Right.
So does it appear to be, or is it unjust authority?
What I'm saying, it appears through us. I want you to us, it appears. I'm talking about how we see it. To us, it appears. Yeah, through our eyes.
Yes.
So to us, it appears to be unjust exercise.
Okay.
Okay, we're looking at this in the natural. In the natural, things look different than what they really are. It's just like when you look in your rearview mirror, you see the sign that says things are closer than they really appear.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay. So now the thing different about affliction is this. It has to go through the approval of the Lord.
Amen.
Affliction has to go through the approval of our Lord. We're going to see this in the scripture. Let's see this in the scripture. Everybody say, it has to go through the approval of the Lord.
It has to go through the approval of our Lord.
This has to do with affliction, not oppression. Okay, so let's see this in the scripture. I got to give you the scripture. Let's go to Joel. Joel, before you move on,
so we got to understand it. So what I understand what you're saying is the two words, oppression and affliction.
Right.
Okay. So to man's natural eye, natural intellect, oppression would be something that is put on us by an authority figure.
Okay.
And so we're comparing it to the affliction of those who are oppressed. Right?
Right.
Okay. So the affliction is approved by God.
Yes.
Okay. So
oppression
is the word.
Two different words. Now,
two different words.
Yeah. Remember, oppression, let me give you a simple understanding. Oppression, is, remember, it's a violation of your will. Remember, we read that earlier.
Right.
Remember, the Bible is talking about all those who were oppressed by the devil.
Right.
That is again, anybody put anything on you to get you to submit to it, which is a violation of your will, that is an oppression.
That is a
violation of your will.
Okay.
Pastor David, may I ask you something?
Yeah.
Okay. But you can actually be oppressed by demons, right? It's not just...
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're talking about. We just said oppressed by the devil. Notice the scripture says they were oppressed by who?
The devil.
The devil.
Oh, okay.
So the devil is the one that brings oppression, which means when the children of Israel were in Egypt and they were being oppressed, even though it was a foreign entity, there was a demonic spirit behind them. It was a demonic spirit behind the leader of those who had the authority.
Yeah. Okay. So what the point you're trying to what? Okay. So what we're getting is the point that you're trying to make is, even though we're oppressed by the enemy, but God wants us to look at it as an affliction.
No.
Okay.
Let me go to the scripture. Let me explain it to the scripture. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to Job. I'm gonna look at two scriptures that really bring clarity. Okay.
Okay.
Job chapter 2. Let's go to Job chapter 2.
Okay.
Job chapter 2, verse 7 through 9.
7 through 9.
2, 7 through 9.
All right. Somebody read that. Start at verse 6. Let's go to verse 6.
Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him and potsherd to grate himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And said his wife unto him, don't thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die.
That's
Job, J-O-B, right?
Yeah, Job.
Yeah. Chapter 2 and verse 7.
So verse 6 through 9. Let me read it in the New King James Version. It says this. And the Lord said to Satan, he's talking to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Now, let me explain it. So here, Satan has now received permission from God to afflict Job.
Amen.
Do you see that? Okay, now I'm going. Satan, God gives Satan temporary permission to afflict Job, because God said, listen, you can go do whatever you want, just don't touch his soul. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, Job, so now Satan goes and begins to afflict him. Remember, the cause, what? Pain, suffering, and anguish. Remember, we read that. Consistent pain, suffering. Okay? You got that? Consistent suffering, pain. This is the definition of affliction. So now Satan goes out of the present and he goes and starts afflicting Job.
Yes.
Now, Job is being afflicted. Please don't mess it. He is now being afflicted. But while he's being afflicted, his wife, oh God, his wife comes now, and now she begins to afflict him too. She begins to add to the affliction. And listen, she said, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Now she's trying to afflict him to the point of oppressing him. See, he's already being afflicted by the devil. So now the wife comes and now try to bring oppression in, try to get him so oppressed. She said, wait a minute, all this you're going through, why don't you just curse God and die? So now he is dealing with mental oppression. He's always being afflicted, and now the wife comes in and says, why don't you just curse God and die?
Oh, have mercy.
So now he is dealing with the devil, and now he's dealing with his own wife. So he's been afflicted. He's been afflicted to the point of oppression.
Right.
See, you can be afflicted to the point where you will get so oppressed and depressed that you're ready to kill yourself. This is the plan. The Bible says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, the devil will afflict you to the point of oppressing you, to the point where you are so depressed, guess what? He don't have to attack you no more. You'll take yourself out. You'll be so burdened down with what the enemy's doing, what people are doing. Because now, he's dealing with a demonic spirit, and now he got to now deal with flesh, which is his own wife.
So you have to look at it.
And if you look at this, if you look at it, if you study in the original language, this was something that was happening daily. His wife didn't just come to him. If you read it, if you study it out, you'll understand his wife would come to him every day and say, won't you just curse God and die? Won't you just curse God? She was wearing him out. Let me give you another example. This was the same thing that Delilah was doing to Samson. She was afflicting him to the point of bringing him to oppression, and he got to the point where he got oppressed, and guess what? He submitted. He submitted his will, and he told Delilah where his strength was. This is what the enemy purpose is, to find out your strength, to get you to submit, to willingly submit and say, okay, devil, I give up
to the weak.
That's what he wants. And now he can destroy you.
You have to look at it a certain way.
So let's go deeper. We almost done because we have to pray. Job chapter 10, verse 15. Let's go there. Job chapter 10, verse 15. Job chapter 10 and verse
15.
If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou my affliction.
Read it one more time. Read it one more time. Oh, my God.
If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou my affliction. Oh, man.
Wow. So listen. Now, here we see not only is this, because now Job not only has to deal with the devil, not only his wife, now he has to deal with the three friends. His three friends come, and they begin to add more affliction on him so he is oppressed. Oh, everything is because, listen, you, because of where you are with God. It's all because it's all your fault, Job. Now they're putting it back on Job.
Right.
His three friends now are afflicting him now with their words. They're coming to him consistently and say, Job, this is the reason why. This is these are the religious people.
Uh-huh.
This is the religious people now come and say, oh, because of sin in your life. You got sin in your life, this is why. And now, listen, they are doing this. They are coming to Job consistently doing this. Now, Job is almost at the end. Now, remember, in the beginning, Job chapter 1, the Bible said Job was a righteous man.
Amen.
Okay? But now the enemies come in, his wife come in, his three friends come in, and everybody's afflicted. And listen, Job is at the point where he is now depressed.
Yeah, Lord.
And if you read the rest of Scripture, he goes before God and begin to blame God. Now, God, wait a minute. No. All of this happened because of you, God. And God tells Job, wait a minute, who is this that dark counsel against me? Where were you at, Job, when I created everything? Now God begins to tell Job, okay, where were you at when I created everything? Where were you when I created the heavens and earth? Where were you when the lightning came, when I created it? And if you read the end of it, Job repents when he starts blaming God. And when Job repents for blaming God, which a lot of us do, well, the Lord don't love me. He don't care about me. Hello. And then when that happens, then guess what? When Job repents, everybody say, when Job repents. When he repents, then God said, okay, since you repented, I'm not only going to restore everything, but I'm going to deal with those who mess with you. I'm going to deal with your three friends. Now, God goes to Job's three friends and says, wait a minute, okay. God begins to deal with them now.
Right.
And says, listen, you're going to have to repent. If not, I'm going to have Job pray for you. If not, then I'm going to deal with you according to your folly. God begins to now deal with those who are afflicting him now.
Oh, man.
All right.
Why? Because he repented. And see, a lot of times when we start murmuring and complaining and stuff, when we start going through stuff, we start murmuring and complaining, and then God has to bring us to that place where we say, wait a minute, Lord, it's not you.
That's right.
It's not you. Lord, forgive me for blaming you. God can now deal with your enemies. Now, let me close this out. Now, in both oppression and affliction, listen, the instrument by which they are delivered is by the enemy or Satan. The only thing different about affliction is it is approved by God.
Okay.
Affliction.
Both of them are instruments of the enemy.
Right.
But the only thing about affliction that's different from oppression is when it comes to affliction, God approves it.
Okay. Wow.
God puts his approval when it comes to affliction.
Right. I get it.
Because remember, it is temporary, is for a moment, and is working for you.
All right, now.
So God sees the outcome that you don't see. God sees what you don't see. What you don't see is the outcome. You just see the experience. You don't see the outcome. God sees that.
Right.
And so God says, if you would praise me instead of complain, I'll show you what I see about it.
Amen.
Okay. I'll show you the outcome. I'll give you the outcome. See, listen, as long as you complain, you blind yourself from the outcome. You never get to see the outcome of your affliction. You don't see the maturity. You don't see the growth. You don't see the anointing that God's trying to put on your life.
Thank you, Lord.
And you miss out on the glory. It's the work glory.
Yeah.
Now, let's bring this down to the believer. Now, let's bring this home to us today. Ready? Here we go. And then we got to pray. Listen, when something comes upon us, we as the body of Christ need to distinguish immediately whether it is oppression or affliction.
Okay.
In other words, here you go. If it's oppression, you ready for this? If it's oppression, we have the power to take charge over it by the name and the blood of Jesus.
Right. Hallelujah. The authority.
Amen.
If it's oppression, we have the power to take charge over it by the name and the blood of Jesus. Now, when it comes to affliction now, we must understand, we must seek the Lord. We must go before the Lord when it comes to affliction and begin to see the purpose of his approval in it. And that's why God is allowing me to go through this.
All right.
Why he allowed me to go through this? What am I to gain out of this? God's trying to increase something on your life. He might be trying to mature you. He might be trying to draw you closer to himself. So in your seeking, that's why when you go in prayer, you are supposed to learn to listen, not be praying about it. See, when you go in prayer and you get quiet, God begins to show you the outcome. He begins to show you why the purpose, why he's allowing this for you to go through. But again, if you're going through, if you are doing all the praying, and you're not listening to his voice, then you will never know the outcome because God can't speak it to you.
Wow. Powerful.
Yes, now, sir. Here we go. Now, an affliction, here you go. I'm going to say something. An affliction only tends to challenge a believer's faith in God, while oppression, the devil's mission of oppression is to devastate, humiliate the believer's claim. I'm going to say that again.
All right.
The purpose of affliction is to challenge a believer's faith in God. It is to challenge your faith in God. While as the purpose of demonic oppression is to devastate, humiliate a believer's claim. Oppression is to devastate. Everybody say to devastate.
Devastate.
Humiliate.
To humiliate.
A believer's claim.
A believer's plan.
Listen, it is purpose to distort the image. Why? Because you will never know who you are in Christ. The enemy comes to distort the image.
Yes.
That's his purpose.
That's his purpose.
His purpose is to distort the image.
Yes.
So you don't understand. Listen. The purpose of your affliction is to, should arouse your authority.
Say that again.
Affliction is supposed to arouse your authority.
Can you ever go through both at the same time?
Wait a second. Say that again.
Can a trial have both of them, oppression and affliction, at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the only thing about it is the outcome is different.
Amen.
And one is approved by God, the other is not. Oppression right. is not approved by God, because that is unwillful. That is the suppression of your will. That's what the children of Israel were in. That is a violation of will. That's what oppression is.
Uh-huh.
Affliction has nothing to do with the suppress your will. It is to attack your faith. It's to attack your faith. It's to make you give up on yourself. It's to make you give up. If the enemy can afflict you to the point where you just say, I give up, he got you.
No.
And so guess what? That one is approved by God. God will actually allow the enemy to see. That's why God told the devil, he's in your hand. Go ahead and afflict him.
So even in Israel, some of the Egyptians that were slaved, some probably were, they were all oppressed, but some were afflicted also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And so listen, so when they began to cry out to God, the Bible says God saw, God heard, and he knew.
Yes.
In other words, he was able to decipher which ones were crying out because of oppression and which one was crying out because of oppression.
Hello.
And remember, this is something that was happening consistently.
Yes.
So, as we get ready to pray, this is the day I want you to understand in regard to deliverance. Remember, this is deliverance. When God begins to bring you to the point of your deliverance, you must now understand that the enemy, the Bible says the enemy walks about like a roaring lion, what? Seeking whom he may what? Devour.
Devour. Uh-huh.
And then this is your part. The Bible says after that, it says, resist him how? Steadfast in the faith.
Yeah. Stand.
Your resistance has to do with your faith. Resist steadfast in the faith. Everybody say resistance steadfast in the faith.
Resist steadfast in the faith.
Which means when you resist steadfast in the faith, you can overcome oppression and affliction.
Yeah, all right now. Thank the Lord.
You can overcome them.
Overcome. Amen.
And so that's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray now, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit now that whatever comes against us, we learn how to, first of all, define it. And that, listen, we will define it based on a biblical understanding, not on an experience response. I'm going to say that again. That we would define what we are presently dealing with on a biblical understanding, not on an experience response. Because we respond based on our experience, not on a biblical understanding. So what you do is when you are in something, you go to the scripture and say, okay, let me go to the word and see what I'm dealing with.
Amen.
Don't just start buying the devils and you don't even know what devil you're dealing with.
Am I?
You're like, devil, I bind you. And the devil like, you don't even know what type of spirit I am.
All right now.
Why?
Yeah.
So you got to go to the scripture. You start praying in the spirit and the Holy Spirit will start giving you arsenal. He'll start giving you strategy. He'll start giving you scriptures and reveal through the scripture what spirit you're dealing with.
Amen.
That's why when Jesus would cast out devils, he would identify what spirit it was, whether it was the deaf and mute spirit, whether it was the tormenting spirit, whether it was the oppressing spirit, he called it out by his name.
Amen.
He said, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So guess what? Whatever you're dealing with, You got to go to the scripture so you can properly address it.
Amen.
See, this right here is vitally important in regard to deliverance, because there are people who are bound by things and they're crying out for deliverance, and they are wondering why they are not being made free. The Bible says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. That is based on your knowledge of the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understanding.
Not just, listen, not just because you're born again. It's your knowledge of the word. It's your knowledge of the word. In other words, it's just like this. Let me use this, and we're going to pray. If you went to jail, okay, and you went to court, you, listen, you would have to know your rights. You would have to know the penal code. See, one thing about police and stuff, they know the penal codes and stuff in which to charge you.
Right.
So when you go, before you go there, you have to go do research on the charges in which they're trying to accuse you of. You can't just be trusting in your attorney.
All right, man.
The public defender, because the public defender is not really there to help you.
No.
So you got to go do your own research and learn how to get out of that. You got to go study your case. You got to study law. This is what I did when I was in prison. I went and studied. I went and got the handbook and learned those penal codes.
Wow.
Why? Because, listen, when I went, I could say, no, penal code such and such says this.
Yeah.
All right,
it's the same thing. Listen, it's the same thing with the word. You got to know the scripture. You got to say, no, devil, the word says this. By his stripes I'm healed. The Bible says, apply all that. That's penal code. You got to learn how to declare that.
My Lord.
You got to know these things. Why? Because, listen, the enemy knows them. But the question is, he knows that you don't know it. He can afflict you to the point where you get so oppressed, you'll give up on yourself.
Lord have mercy.
You come in agreement with his sentence.
He will weigh you down so much. Listen, you'll say, Lord, I'm done with this. His purpose is to get you to quit on God. When you understand that you are called by God, when you know that you have authority over every devil, over oppression, that even the affliction that has been approved by God is to strengthen your faith. And I want you to know that what you are dealing with, it is temporary, it's for a moment, and it's working for you a far more eternal weight of glory. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. We are in prayer. Lord, I pray now in the name of Jesus, every person on this call,
God,
that they will step into a glory. They will step into a knowledge. They will step into understanding of what your word says concerning oppression, concerning affliction. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, that you will give them a defining moment against every attack, everything the enemy comes against them. I declare now that you will unveil their eyes, that they would see God in the name of Jesus. I declare right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that every instrument that the enemy used to oppress your people, I declare they're coming out in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that you will remind them the authority that you have given them. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
I thank you, Lord, that even the things that has challenged our faith, Father, God, we declare that we are people that are speaking to what's present. Father, we thank you that we are already delivered. We're not already delivered. We are already delivered because Jesus finished it on the cross. And so we thank you that we are free, we are healed, we are delivered in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for understanding. I thank you for revelation knowledge. And I declare that the word that they heard this morning, it will be grounded and rooted in their spirit, not just their mind. People of God, I need to say this real quickly.
Thank you, Lord.
I hear the Lord saying, I hear the Lord saying right now that when it comes to the word of God, you must allow the word to get in your spirit and not just in your mind. You got to let the word get in your spirit, man. And when it gets in your spirit, it will inform your mind. The Bible says God is going to bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is going to show you what you're dealing with. He's going to show you the strategy on which with. Your Bible says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. People of God, this is the time to get your faith involved. This is the time to get your faith activated in the name of Jesus. I activate the faith in your people this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I release it, and I declare now that something is shifting and turning now in Jesus' name. Kathy, pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, that you're giving us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. We thank you, Lord God. I'm asking you today that you will help us to be intimate with your truth, oh God.
Into
a relationship with your truth, oh God. We ask, Lord God, that as we meditate in your word day and night, God, your promises that we be planted by the rivers of living water, that we will bear the fruit in our due season. Also, Lord God, from the meditation of your word, Lord God, you said that we will have good success. So we're asking you that, Lord God, to put in our heart to help us, Lord God, to meditate. Help us to get
help us to get
good understanding, Lord God, because you said when we have understanding, Lord God,
we thank you, Lord God,
your word in excellence. And Lord God, we just pray this over us, Lord God. We pray
thank
in the name
you,
of Jesus, Lord God, that we will look at our situations and our circumstances that we go through like Paul did, and how you told Paul that your grace was sufficient for us. That means you're giving us able and power. We are well able and able, Lord God, to get through it all, God. And so we're give us that understanding of your word. You said wisdom. We're to ask for wisdom, the principal thing, and all of our, we are to get understanding. And so,
Lord God,
the know-how to, in the matchless name of Jesus, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
We believe and we receive it done. We believe that we are seeing things on the other side, Lord God, of our through. Lord God, we're seeing, Lord God, the promise of your glory, Lord God, on the other side of through. Lord God, the manifested goodness that's on the outcome of, Lord God, the afflictions and the oppressions and the things that we're going through, Lord God. Help us to have the mindset that we're going through it and we're coming greater on the other side of it, God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God,
in
the name
of Jesus,
over each and every one of us and all of our unique situations, God. That you're
manifesting
in our lives. And Lord God, help us to see it while we're still dealing with the oppression, still dealing with the affliction. But your promise is, Lord God, in your word, and your word is yes and in you. Amen. So we thank you that
we thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Apply the blood to our conscious and subconscious today. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, and I want to add a prayer, if it's okay. Lord, I just pray for each and every person in this phone call, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would protect us, that you would show us the tactics of the enemy in advance. And that we would be, and that you would give us an exit door, Lord, that we would be able to leave and go and not even be exposed to any of it, Lord God, that you, Father God, would be our deliverer and would set us free, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our homes, over our lives,
over our things. And we just thank you, Lord, because you're always ahead of us, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And I have a request. I request, because this is so powerful, and this is what the body of Christ needs right now, this teacher right here. And so I'm asking each and every one of you, please keep us in prayer concerning this area, because this is an area that would make the captives free. And so I'm asking to lift up David mostly, because God is the vessel and to get this word to come forth. So I want you guys to continuously pray for us, but somebody pray for us, please.
Amen. So beautiful.
Thank
you, Lord.
And pray the word. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes. And Prophet David, I had a dream last night regarding, like, you, your ministry. So if you want me to share it after.
I don't think he's on. Hold on, okay? Let me see what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Just a minute. Y'all pray in the spirit. Hold on. I don't hear him. Are you on?
All right. Okay. Yeah. Back on. Okay, I'm back on.
Hi.
I heard what you said though. So we'll do it. We'll do that at the end. I want to stay in with the prayer. Sister Linda, I want you to pray in regard to Thanksgiving, and then also that we would obey the instruction that God gives us in prayer, because remember, this is according to the scripture, it's paying our vow. So I want you to pray, Sister Linda, that we would learn how to thank God, and we would learn how to obey the instruction we get in prayer. Sister Linda.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, my Father. Glory to you, Father. All glory and honor is yours, my Father. You are the only one worthy, Father God. You alone are worthy of all of our love, our praise, our honor, our worship, Lord.
Jesus.
You alone, my Father. You alone.
Jesus.
Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, Father God.
Yes.
We come with hearts so grateful, Father God, so grateful for all that you have done and all that you have put in place, Father God. The revealing of your word to us, Father God.
Jesus.
Lord, that we would embrace every day with a heart of thanksgiving, Father God. That when we open our eyes, my Father God, that the first thought in our mind would be, glory to you, Father. Thank you to you, my Father, for giving us another day. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our times are in your hands, Father God. We thank you that you are God over this place, over our hearts, over our minds, Father God, that you are God over every situation, Lord, and that truth, Father God, would fill us with praise, would fill us with thanksgiving, Father God, that regardless of the situations that we find ourselves in, Father God, that we are in your hands, and that nobody can pluck us from your hand, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you are the last word, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, Father God. There's nothing before you and there's nothing after you, Father God. And that, Lord, this word today would go deep into our hearts and into our spirits, Father God, that our spirit man would not let go of this truth, Father God. That even in the midst of affliction, Father God, you are there. And if you are there, then we can trust and we can be at peace and we can say no to fear, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said yes
that you laid down your will for the Father's will. Thank you, my Father. Father, that you give us choices. You've given us the ability to say yes to you, and we say yes to you today, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Say, Father God, that our hearts and our minds and our spirits, Father God, would be open to hear what you have to say to us, Father God. That in the moment of affliction, Father God, that we wouldn't hang our heads down, Father God, but that we would lift our eyes to you, where our help comes from, Father God, because our help comes from you, Lord God. And that we would not sit quietly as we allow our enemy to attack us. No, Father God. But that we would declare your truth, Father God. We would declare your word that says we are healed. We would declare that we are your children. And that your promises are ours, Father God. And that nothing in this earth, God, compares to you. We give you all glory right now, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation of truth. I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you more than anything, Father God, that you are with me in every situation, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We embrace you, Father God. Give us the eyes to see and the wisdom to know, Father God, the difference between the oppression of our enemy, Father God, and the affliction that you bring to perfect us, Father God, to bring your perfection and your glory to us, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, we would be quick to obey when you say, do this, do that, say this, say that, pray this, pray that, go here, go, Father God, that our feet would be swift to do and act out your will, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, increase the desire in us for that purpose, Father God. Increase in us the desire to do what you ask, Father God. And give us those ears to hear, Father God. Give us ears to hear, Father God. We do not want to miss one word spoken from you, Father God. You are life to us, Father God.
Thank you.
Our life to us, without you, we are nothing and we have nothing. Lord, we recognize that. So open our ears today, Father God. Whatever has distracted us, whatever has turned our gaze from you, Father God, Lord, turn us back to you.
Yes, Lord.
Turn our ears and our heart and our eyes to you, Father God. And give us the confidence and the obedience to be quick to do as you say.
Thank you, Lord,
you are still speaking to us, Father God.
Thank
we thank you, Lord, that you have not turned away from us. You have not forsaken
thank
us.
You for being with us, Jesus.
Call our name a Father who loves his children.
Thank you.
And Lord, we receive that. We receive your love. We receive your discipline. And we receive, Father God, the commands and the purposes that you have for us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for this breath that you've given us this day, Lord God. And we thank you for the opportunity that you put in our path to glorify you, Father God. We live to glorify you, Father God, and nothing else. In the name of Jesus Christ,
we live Jesus.
And we glorify you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen up, people.
There was something mentioned I want to bring a correction to. The affliction and oppression is the source of it is the enemy, but the Lord disapproves it.
That's right.
But the source is from the enemy.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The instrument is always the enemy, but when it comes to affliction, the Lord's approval. And affliction, listen, an affliction only tends to challenge a believer's faith in God. But God gets his approval. Why? Because he knows the outcome is, your faith being strengthened.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So look, next week we're gonna get into how these oppressions can lead to certain strongholds. We're gonna define strongholds now. We're gonna look at the definition of strongholds. We're gonna look at how strongholds become demonic. We're going to look at how to bind the strong man. And one thing you understand about strongholds, people of God, now this is the thing that you don't want to miss, not 1 week of this, that the strongholds are not built by the enemy. They built by us. You don't want to miss it, people of God. So we're going to get into these strongholds that the enemy oppression us to the point that they will become strongholds. So we're going to get into that next week. You don't want to miss it. I want you to invite someone to get on during this time of series in the era of deliverance. And I promise you at the end of this series, listen, you're going to see some things just fall off of you. You're going to see some things break off of you. And it's going to come by the anointing. You're going to walk in a greater anointing. You're going to walk in a greater authority. And I'm telling you, God is going to actually, at the end of this, God is going to put the keys in your hand. Because the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. Whatever you lose. So guess what? You are going to now exercise the authority that God has given you by the keys of the kingdom. And the keys have to do with the principles that you work through Scripture. When you work the principles of Scripture, you are exercising and using the keys to unlock and lock things that should not be functioning in your life. In the name of Jesus. Anyone has any questions or any prayer requests at this moment?
I just want to share with you my dream, but I can share it privately at the end.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to share it now?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, so in my dream, we were in the prayer call, and I was in this building, and this building was really white, and my things were there and everything, and I could see my apartment was facing so there were apartments behind me. And there were apartments behind those apartments and apartments behind those apartments. But I was like the one, my apartment was facing the street, like the front. And when I opened the window, I realized, and I think I moved the furniture to see this one window. And I realized that there were some people coming to this building, and these people were, they were coming like from a purpose of like attacking, you know, the people in the building, and they had bats and you know, like weapons.